We're here.
I wish I could give this feeling. I wish I could give this feeling.
What up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. This week's episode of the Corner is brought to you by Casper Mattresses. Casper is an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the cost. You know, me and Andreas are always covering events, we're always writing articles, but when we do have time to sleep, we lay our head down on a nice, pillowy, soft, premium mattress from Casper Mattresses. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and going straight to you. No showrooms, no middleman. Everyone's seen those creepy guys trying to follow you around the department store. None of that anymore. You get your hands on a nice premium mattress by going straight to Casper Mattresses.
Yeah, man. I mean, I got to get my rest. So Casper Mattresses is the goods. I'm telling you right now. So listen, you can get $50 off of any mattress purchase by visiting Casper.com/the corner and entering the promo code the corner. That's one word, the corner. That's Casper.com/the corner, promo code THECORNER. Terms and conditions apply.
What up, everybody, and welcome to the second episode of the Corner Podcast this week. I'm Kel Dansby here with old man Andreas Hale. All wrestling in this podcast, Survivor Series, Weekend, NXT TakeOver, War Games, a lot of stuff to talk about. Man, Ellsworth is gone and released. A lot of stuff happening in the world of wrestling. I'm sure Dre has crazy, crazy stuff built up inside of him about this week. But let's start from the top. War Games, NXT. I already know you got a problem with it being War Games. And oddly enough, so do I.
Yeah, I mean, originally when it was announced, I was excited because as a kid who grew up on War Games, and that was a big, like, as a kid, there was a time where I didn't watch a lot of WWE. Well, I always watched WWF, but there was a time where I was really watching a lot of WCW and NWA. So War Games was like my go-to. Like, the first one I remember distinctly watching was Animal, was pressing. God, I can't remember who. I think it might have been Arn Anderson on the top of the cage. He was like gorilla pressing him. And Hawk finished it with like a Hangman neck breaker. I just love the aesthetic of it all. You know, you put these teams in a cage. As a kid, the idea of, you know, it was like Survivor Series on steroids, because you had two teams and you let them out of their cages and they ran into the ring and they beat the shit out of each other. Somebody always had an advantage and it was always blood, and it was always like, and you had to win by submission. You have to make somebody give up. When the Road Warriors made J.J. Dillon, when they separated his shoulder with the Doomsday device, and he quit because he fell awkwardly, which was not even cave. Like, that was real. He was hurt. But it just lent that aesthetic to it, like, this is serious business. Now, it's like the PG version of it, where pinfalls count. There's no roof to the cage where you can kind of climb out of the cage. Triple H tried to explain why he's done this, because he feels like War Games has to evolve. No, fuck that. I want the same old War Games that I had when I was a kid, where, you know, Ric Flair and Steve Austin and everybody just bled and there was violence and you beat somebody until they verbally had to quit. I like that.
But we weren't going to get that. I think he might have tried for that. And then Vince today was like, War Games, kid, what are you doing with this? And then Trips tried to explain it. And he was like, no roof. And then it was just like, oh, shit, all right. And then Trips had to come up with an explanation. And he's like, quit. Is it I quit match? He's like, no, it's War Games. Oh, no, then pinfalls. And, you know, Vince still has the final say. So, and when stuff is announced or changed this late, I just look and I'm just like, ah, all right, he got to another one.
You know what? You give Triple H a lot of credit and tend to shit on Vince a lot.
I do.
I don't think this is a Vince thing. I don't think that Vince came in and had anything to do with this. I think this is, we are shared publicly. We don't have blood in our matches. And Triple H wanted to put a new spin on it. I don't think this had anything to do with Vince McMahon. I honestly don't.
But just that whole I quit aspect, I feel like, I forgot, it might have been Authors Pain's last match. They almost got tapped. It's been a couple of their matches where they've almost been submitted. Because honestly, that's the only way you're going to beat them, right? So I feel like you have that. You have Red Dragon, who has a million submission holds. It's kind of what they do. It's built to have that I quit type of aspect in it.
Yeah, or it's just a new
big guys to pummel people. Not having it, you know, with that stipulation kind of is weird. And then the cage on top, I understand. Like, it's hard to build a structure like that. People say what they want. They'd be like, oh, well, you have Hell in a Cell. Hell in a Cell is a tall structure over one ring. I'm not an architect, nor am I an engineer. But having two full-size-ass rings with a low top doesn't seem like it's the safest shit in the world.
And I'm, no, but they did it before. Like, if you could do it in 1980.
Listen, you do nobody, a lot of shit in 80 that was structurally wrong. And it was a floppy top cage.
But nobody's climbing on top of the cage. It's just the illusion of you have these people trapped in a cage.
That's an ugly-ass floppy top, I'll tell you that much.
They've done it for years. Like I said, I'm a student of War Games. Like, I loved War Games. It only sucked when it was really late and WCW tried it a couple times during the Monday Night Wars. But the aesthetic of having the cage done, like, dude, it can be done. It's not like it can't be done. Like, if you can build a goddamn Punjabi prison, you can make a War Games cage. And like,
that
to
shit
take
is
the,
also stupid, by the way.
But to take the top off of the cage, now it's just a steel cage match with two rings. And it's two rings because you have nine people, which is, I mean, for all intents and purposes, I mean, it's War Games by name alone now. Like, if you can win by pinfall, who cares? Like, because in War Games, the referee wasn't in the ring. The referee was outside of the ring looking for somebody to quit.
He was outside of the cage, right?
Yeah, he was completely outside of the cage, and he would look to see who was quitting. Like, there was a few officials outside, and there was one main official who would call the shots. But now I have, you know, a feeling that there's going to be a referee in the ring, and he's going to have to count the pinfall. Like, I don't want a pinfall. Like, when you have bad blood, it should be by submission, and not even like submission with a submission move, but I just got the shit beat out of me. I quit. Like, that's what I want to see, but we're not going to get that.
Another tough thing was always the vision into the cage. Just the aesthetics, right? With the camera and having to see through the cage and seeing guys and all this shit. I think there was one camera inside of the cage and everything else was outside.
Yeah.
So I feel like that might throw them off. There's a lot of shit now that it has to be pretty. Dre, it can't be gritty, you know, old school 80s. Look like you're inside of a prison. The hell with a clean shot. We just want to see the red of the blood. That's what War Games was.
But then you shouldn't call it War Games. Like, if you get to that point where you're stripping, when you're stripping that much away from what it originally was, then it should no longer be called War Games. Now, instead of ECW, it's ECW's WWE shitty TV version of it. The only hope that I have is that the talent carries this through, because they have, I mean, you have Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, and Bobby Fish in there who are supreme talents, along with Roderick Strong, and then everybody else. But
Authors of Pain. Authors of Pain are pretty good.
I think Authors of Pain are they're a good tag team, but they don't have the work rate of like Gargano and Ciampa or Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish.
Those are small guys. How do they compare to like the dudes from ROH?
I mean,
I think they compare favorably to those guys.
To War Machine?
War Machine's a little bit more athletic. Obviously.
Yeah, War Machine is a lot more athletic. And War Machine, I mean, I'm not saying the Authors of Pain aren't fun to watch. Like, Authors of Pain, they're a good tag team, and they've grown on me lately. But I'm saying, like, this type of a match lends itself to brutality. So the Authors of Pain, obviously, are going to be the bruisers, along with, like, Killian Dane. But when it comes to the work rate and watching shit happen, it's going to be really up on the team known as Red Dragon and Adam Cole and Roderick Strong to really carry that aspect through. Sanity is a team that, you know, nobody even expects to win. You look at them, and granted, Killian Dane is a great talent, but, you know, Eric Young and Alexander Wolf, they're not the guys that you look at. I mean, they haven't done anything exceptional since they've come to NXT. So the onus is on the Undisputed Era, Roddy Strong, and Authors of Pain to really make this match come to life, because the rules are kind of hindering it.
No, I agree. I mean, I don't have doubt that the talent's going to come through. At this point, those are some pretty good wrestlers. We'll see what Sanity really has. Because you're only as good as your leader, right? And I'm not sure what EY is really doing. The EY experiment kind of has fallen flat. And Killian Dane's too good to be a jobber, which I think the other two are. They're a good faction if they're jobbers. But Nikki Cross and Killian Dane are better than that. So if they lose and maybe Killian Dane just turns on them, that'd be dope. Let, you know, Sanity right. just be a tag team and Killian Dane just say the hell with this, I'm solo. But outside of that, they're kind of holding him back.
Yeah, like Sanity, when they first came, I was like, oh, they could be doing something with this faction. It's kind of really haven't done a whole lot. I mean, I even hate Nikki Cross's remix version of Sanity's music. I don't like it.
I love her character, though. The Bad Shit Crazy Chick is great.
She's an excellent character. It's just the whole Sanity thing just hasn't gelled the way that I wanted it to. I thought it could have been a great faction, and it just fizzled out. It's not. It's almost like the diet version of the Wyatt family without the creepiness. So,
well, because the guy on top isn't Bray Wyatt, so it doesn't work as strong.
Eric Young was a solid talent in TNA. He was a champion, which is crazy to me. But he used to be like the weasel guy in TNA too. When he came up and he started talking more, and he's got that Shawn Michaels voice. You look at him and then he talks. You're like, what the fuck is that? It came out of him. But he's not a bad wrestler. It's just I don't know if it's the booking or what they've done with Sanity hasn't worked. Nikki Cross is the best thing truly to come out of there because even Killian Dane hasn't done enough as part of Sanity. Even being at what was it WrestleMania? Whatever.
Wrecking Shop though.
Yeah,
but that was it.
But they go right back to the back of the line. So, you know, it's a match where everybody's going to be paying a lot of attention to the Undisputed Era. Sanity's just going to have to do their part to stay involved. And Authors of Pain, we know they're coming here to bruise people, and Roddy can work. So I have hope for the match. It's just, at this point, I'm like, why are we even calling this shit War Games anymore?
Yeah, the shit should definitely be called something different. Let's go down the rest of the card then. While we're talking about NXT War Games, we have Cien Almas versus Drew McIntyre for the title. I think it's going to be a good match. Cien Almas is going to lose because Drew is just holding that until WrestleMania weekend so he can lose. But I like the Cien Almas character. I like him having the valet. Tia Trinidad is great in that role as Zelina Vega. She's really brought something to his character. And his in-ring work has never been questioned. So he's going to get the most out of Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, he's just not going to lose. Like you said, Drew McIntyre's not going to lose.
No.
I don't necessarily think he's going to hold it to WrestleMania, though. I'm a little curious how Adam Cole gets his title off him. I think that'll be like 6 months that Drew would be champ, and I feel like Adam Cole is already in a position where he kind of has to be champ going into WrestleMania because he's too big of a pull. He's a great character, and he's the leader of a faction, and factions need to. So they kind of need to get him sooner than later. But that being said, this match, it's going to be good. Andrade Cien Almas has been a revelation when he got Zelina Vega as his valet because he was going nowhere fast this time last year. So this should be a great match. But there's no way Drew McIntyre is losing.
No, and I think Almas is damn near close to main roster already. It's just...
He gets buried on the main roster. Like, where does he go? 205 Live?
No, fuck no. Like, he has to go to SmackDown.
Does he?
Yeah, like, he has to take the spot of Corbin.
That's not happening.
He has to be the Spanish Miz, where he has to be the heel that carries the mid-level title.
You put the United... That guy. Nope.
I do. I think you put the United States champion on a Spanish guy. He's half Del Rio, half Miz immediately with this character.
No.
Immediately.
Nah, he's a great talent. He just found his footing in NXT.
He's only 27 years old, by the way. So, I mean, he has time. But still, I think he's better than Corbin right now. Character and all.
He doesn't have the look of a Baron Corbin. Like, let's just be honest here. Baron Corbin is, like, everything Vince McMahon wants in a talent. Like, even Baron Corbin has, like, the dope entrance music. Baron Corbin has a great finisher. He just sucks in the ring. But... The bottom line is, like, guys like The Miz, well, not even The Miz, we'll speak more to Baron Corbin, are more the Vince McMahon prototypes on the main roster. Cien Almas is a guy who would probably get put on 205 Live. He's not, I don't foresee him making any impact on the main roster.
He's big as hell to be on 205 Live.
Nah. Is he?
He is. Not that. He's not a cruiser. He does a lot of cool cruiser shit, but even they started removing that from his arsenal.
He's billed as 210 pounds, which is being generous. So he's probably like 195. He's a cruiserweight.
Yeah, I don't know. He looks a lot bigger than fucking Gentleman Jack Gallagher.
Well, Jack Gallagher, like Rich Swann, they're like 160.
Yeah, so I mean, he's pushing the limits. That's like Neville going down, and you look at Neville and you'd be like, 205?
Like, I'm just saying, there's no room for Cien Almas on the main roster right now. There's too much bullshit going on.
I think he's ready. I don't think necessarily he has to move up, but he's ready now. He won't go up there and he won't be Apollo Crews. I think his package now is a little bit more polished.
He's Apollo Crews.
Ah, that's rough. Apollo went up with nothing.
Well, I mean, Apollo was the worst call-up. That made absolutely no sense. But I'm not saying that he's Apollo Crews, because Apollo Crews, he didn't even develop a personality and got boosted on the main roster. Cien Almas is a guy who, like I said, he just found his footing. Like, he was jobbing, not even 6 months ago. And he's in the title picture, and he's going to lose. So, he's a great talent. He gets lost in the shuffle there.
All right. Well, yeah, maybe he takes some more time. I don't know where he goes from here. But, I mean, there's enough guys, I guess, to put him in another feud and maybe have him win one. Maybe Cien Almas versus a Roddy Strong would be a good way to go next. I'm not even sure. But there's people to have him go against. Let's see. Next up, one match that broke my heart with the announcement today. Pete Dunne versus Johnny Gargano was supposed to be on the card. It got moved to the main event of next week's NXT. It'll still be taped, but we will not see it.
I'm super disappointed in that.
My match of the night.
It would have been a really good match. Pete Dunne as the Bruiserweight. I mean, the guy has been an excellent talent. Gargano has been in this little slump, so I would fully expect him to put on a great match and lose to Pete Dunne. I don't know how you get a UK title shot. I don't care. I guess this is not the UFC. I don't care about the rankings. So he's in the match, and I'd love to see it at TakeOver, but now we're not going to see it, so I'm disappointed.
Yeah, that sucks. I agree with you. Pete Dunne's going to win that, though, and we'll see it on next week's NXT, so it is what it is. I got to wait a couple days. We have the women's four-way match. Kairi Sane, Ember Moon, Nikki Cross, Peyton Royce. I was at the Vegas house show the other day. I saw a lot of these matches go down, and they're working through the kinks and trying to figure it out. This one, I think just like last year's four-way match, or it was a three-way match or something, it has a lot of missed spots. A lot of rough edges in this match. And hopefully they clean it up by this week. But it's going to be weird. And the ending, I fear, is going to be the same as I saw, and it's going to be even weirder. So
all signs point to one thing, in my opinion, is that Peyton Royce will be the new NXT Women's Champion. There is no true heel in this match. Even Nikki Cross is getting babyface reactions. Peyton Royce and Billie Kay have become the true heel women. They're almost similar to what Charlotte and Sasha were when they were in NXT, as like the best friends, and they were heels. So I could see Peyton Royce. I mean, she's not nearly as good as any of the women that she's up against, but
she's not a horrible wrestler, though. She's better than Billie Kay.
She's not, but
she's not good at all.
In comparison to Ember Moon, Kairi Sane, and Nikki Cross, yeah, she's like, nobody expects her to win, and that's why she'll win, because she's the heel. And then I expect her and Billie Kay to be on some kind of Edge and Christian thing where they find ways to win. They cheat to win, and they hold that title for a pretty good minute. Because I also figure that Peyton Royce is the one that I could see going to the main roster and getting a pretty decent push because of her character, not because of her ring work.
Yeah.
So I fully see Peyton Royce winning this match.
I agree.
Ember can't win it. She can't.
No, Ember's cooled down. I think Ember, one, she's better as a person chasing it. And two, she just needs a little bit more personality until she carries it. Like, it's so weird because Asuka, English, no English, she had the personality of a champion.
Yeah.
Like, she was the perfect person to keep that going. And now it's like, who has the personality? Because in women's wrestling, it's cool. You guys got great matches. It's still really dominated by character and personality.
Of course.
And I think that's why Alexa Bliss got the push. You know, Alexa Bliss isn't the sixth best women's wrestler on the main roster, but she's damn near the best champion. And personality carries it a long, long, long way. And you're right. Right now, Peyton Royce is the only one with that personality.
Furthermore, that gives you a plenty of options for title defenses, because if Ember wins, then it's going to be a bunch of babyface matches. It'll be Ember versus Kari or Ember versus Nikki, or if Kari wins, it'll be the same thing. Peyton Royce being the champion allows the women to get in line to face her. So now you have babyfaces, and you get to build up Peyton Royce and Billie Kay as a heel faction. I don't even know if they'll ever break up. Obviously, this is the WWE, and everybody breaks up eventually. But I'm not sure how Peyton Royce and Billie Kay function as the champion. Maybe they do it like Lay Cool did back in the SmackDown days when when they both had a title for each of them. But that's the way that you can keep this business going is by having a heel carry the champion, have the babyfaces chase after it, and lose to a lesser talent. And that's always the best part.
It's intriguing that Ruby Riott isn't in this match, because I really hope she comes back and does a heel turn on one of these face chicks.
Isn't she injured? I thought I read somewhere that she's injured.
Is that what happened? Because it's odd that she's not in this match.
I'm assuming she is hurt. I'm not entirely sure. I can't remember what I read on the dirt sheets, but her not being in this match is a surprise. But again, it's like there's just more to do with Peyton Royce's champion. Not a lot to do with anybody else's champion.
True. So that's that match. We have Cassius Ohno versus Lars Sullivan, which I think is going to be a surprise match tonight. We haven't seen Ohno really showcased a lot. We haven't seen, the work rate he exhibited on the indies was insane. And somehow he's gotten fatter. I saw him in person the other day. He's just been eating. He's gotten to full-fledged fat boy Chris Hero right now. With that being said, it's going to be a good match, but I have Lars Sullivan being the new monster in NXT and winning.
So here's a fun fact. Looking at Lars Sullivan, how tall do you think he is?
He's not that tall. He's like 6'2".
Yeah. Like, NXT makes guys look huge when they're really big.
Well, he has Lars a big-ass dome piece.
I mean, no, don't get me wrong. Lars Sullivan is a monster of a man. But it's like, if he was standing next to Braun Strowman, we'd be like, oh. Because Braun's like 6'8", 6'9".
No, he has like Cro-Magnon man head. Like you look at him and be like, yo, this guy is like a caveman, like clubbing people. Like, I don't even know how your head is built like that anymore.
That dude is huge. But the match itself, Chris Hero is going to give him work. And good work. It's a matter of Lars can keep up. I think they're still tinkering with the Lars character. I don't like his finisher. I still think they're trying to figure out what his finisher is going to be, similar to what they do with Braun Strowman, who are like a new finisher every like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But Lars should win this match because Cassius can afford to lose. Cassius can lose. He was brought back. He's a high-quality enhancement talent. Like, if you're wrestling a Chris Hero, you know you're in for it. And you're going to have a good match. You're going to get hit with some stiff shots. And if you win, he's going to make you look good doing it, because Chris Hero's a hell of a worker. So I expect Lars to win, and this will be a true litmus test to see whether Triple H and Regal say, you know what, we should give this man that push, or maybe we need to pull back and work with him a little bit more.
You know what's crazy now that you mention it? When I went to the house show and, everyone's working through the matches, this is the match that didn't have a clean ending. This was a match that had no finisher. And Lars really doesn't have a finisher. So I don't know how this is going to end. I still pick him to win, but it was one of those matches where I can't even be like, yo, Dre, this was his finisher and this is what they're working on. He didn't even have one. That's how raw and green he is right now.
Yeah, they're working on it. He may debut it in this match. Right now it's like a waist lift side slam. It's some weird looking thing. It was kind of like that. I don't know. Like, when you try to figure out finishers for big guys, you get some really strange results. Like, when Braun was doing like that reverse choke slam, we just slamming people on their faces. I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, then he had like the stand up just choke people out shit for a while.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, big guys and their finishes are always strange. It's like a finishing move is so unique nowadays if you can find the right one.
End of Days is still like top three new finishers.
Yeah, like End of Days is a great, it looks good. Ember Moon's finisher looks amazing. Like, certain people have great finishers. Other people are just trying to figure it out. Braun has a power slam, dude. Like, the British Bulldog had a power slam.
That shit's dope, Braun, though. It looks great for Braun.
It looks great, but I'm just saying, it's like, it's not if it was another wrestler doing it, you'd be like, all right, whatever. So yeah. A big man can do a basic move and make it look. So Lars has to find something that he can make look extremely effective.
I'm upset that we haven't seen a big man with a good power bomb in a long time.
Yeah, they've kind of gone away from power bombs a lot lately.
When Nia Jax had the power bomb, I was like, a woman with a power bomb finish is so dope. And then somehow they just ditched it.
I'm always a big fan of power bombs. I even like Batista's power bomb. Even though, like, funny, I know we're getting off topic here, but Batista's power bomb, when he used to do that power bomb, and sometimes he'd never roll properly. Did you ever notice that? He'd do that sit out power bomb, he'd try to roll.
Yeah, it was ugly sometimes.
And he'd get, like, stuck on his shoulder and shit. So you got this big, muscular Filipino, like, stuck on his shoulder. It was just weird. But power bombs, aesthetically, they look good. Like, not that. Like, even Diesel's Jackknife Powerbomb, it was kind of weak because he just kind of let you go. I like to see guys just murder people with a powerbomb.
Yeah, but even, like, the buildup, you can have such a dope buildup to the powerbomb. Like, Diesel had to, you know, like, get in the stupid semi-truck going, the boom, boom, and then he hits the powerbomb. Taker had the fist for the last ride. It's so much buildup and pageantry. Like, you know that shit's coming. It's the equivalent of, like, I don't know, when you have a running kick of some sort and you do the Shawn Michaels foot stomp now. Everyone does it now.
You know who had a mean power bomb? Brock Lesnar.
Brock Lesnar had a power bomb?
When Brock Lesnar used to triple power bomb people, like if you go back to the early Brock Lesnar stuff where he would power bomb them, they'd hold his hands, he'd lift them up and power bomb them 2 and 3 more times, it's pretty sick. Oh, Brock Lesnar had a mean power. This is once upon a time when Brock Lesnar was a wrestler instead of a guy who just did 3 moves and left. Brock Lesnar had a mean powerbomb.
Listen, you try a fucking shooting star's press too, and almost break your neck, all that shit goes out the window. He has 3 moves.
Yeah,
pretty much. That's all that's needed. Last match that we have to get to on this card is Aleister Black versus the Velveteen Dream. I think showcase match for Aleister Black. I just don't know where he goes from here. Because he's a guy that should be in the title picture, but if we all think, I really don't know. Because he's a guy who should beat Drew McIntyre. But he can't because Drew's going to lose already. Like, it's pretty much set. Like, I don't know. I don't know where he goes. The character's so strong, he might be one of the guys who never holds the belt because he doesn't need one.
Yeah, NXT is so small. In relative terms, that, you know, he kind of has to be champion. But, first of all, I agree with you. He should beat the Velveteen Dream. I give a ton of credit to Patrick Clark for making this character work. Because I just remember the early promos, I was like, the fake Prince? Like, the black gold dust? What is this shit? And even though it's still kind of corny, he makes it work. And I think this will be a decent match. Patrick Clark has a solid character. But, it should be Aleister Black will finish him off with Black Mask. And, yeah, I have no idea where he goes from here. A title picture seems like WrestleMania would be the perfect place for him to win the title. But I mean, he's got the presentation.
That means Adam Cole's going to hold it for 3 months, royal to WrestleMania?
Well, therein lies your problem. Perhaps Adam Cole wins the title and does not lose it to Aleister Black and is the first person to put a loss on his record.
That's what I'm thinking. If he even beats Aleister Black with the entrance, the WrestleMania entrance is probably going to be way better than any entrance we've seen him on that main stage. Even Aleister Black losing, it'll be one hell of a match. He's a guy who gets shot right up on that superstar shakeup the night after Mania. Because that's the shit Vince loves. That's something you can sell to Vince.
Yeah, but again, you just know how I feel about this. Until you figure out your 2 roster picture, and guys are getting the right amount of time.
They're never going to figure it out. That's the problem.
So it's just, you can't really keep calling people up. I mean, Aleister Black is a guy I'm comfortable. Like, remember, like, last year I said, I hope Nakamura doesn't get called up. Now I'm serious. Like, I'm glad he didn't. I'm not happy that he got called up. I would have liked to see him still in NXT. And I know people, like, he super outgrew NXT. But he had so much more movement. Right? Like, there was so much more things he could do in NXT as opposed to the main roster. I get it. You have to go. Aleister Black is the same. Like, I don't want to see him go to the main roster and get stuck in some kind of feud with Dolph Ziggler.
But it's happened to everyone. Everyone. That's not Kevin Owens. He got called up, like, 2 months after.
I mean, Finn Balor came in and was immediately the Universal Champion.
Yeah, and then he got hurt, and then what since?
He got caught in the shuffle. I mean, you look at the Shield, NXT talent, like Bray Wyatt was NXT talent.
But that's early NXT. I'm talking about New Wave NXT.
They all got caught.
Bobby Roode, caught in the
Enzo
shuffle.
Enzo and Cass weren't. I mean, even though they didn't win the title, they were super over.
Yeah, I mean, Bobby Roode, with that entrance. Bobby Roode was made to come in and just hold the title. And he's done nothing yet.
Him being a babyface has just been a horrible decision. Like that's where we can start. Him being a babyface is a terrible decision.
Yeah, that's disgusting. Hopefully that's the change ASAP.
That will change. But as for anybody else, it's like if you keep calling people as the main roster, because you're calling people up, but you're not really getting rid of anybody to make space. Yeah, you got rid of James Ellsworth, but how much time was he really taking on television? So it's like, who are you going to cut? Some people got to go. The fact that you can bring
Kane rid of the
back,
Canes, yeah, like, absolutely.
But the fact you bring him back and you put him in a quality position means that somebody else isn't getting any shine, which also means that where they feel like they need ratings or something to go to, they're not going to the NXT. Like, what, Mark Henry's coming back next? I mean, shit, what are we going to do?
Maybe.
I don't want to see Aleister Black called up. Like, I feel like NXT is a product where it's, to me, it eventually should no longer be the minor leagues. It should no longer be eventually you get to the main roster. Some guys should be paid and be happy in NXT because you're just going to get ruined there.
Just the third brand.
Yeah.
A completely different brand. And when you do a superstar shuffle, people shuffle their ass right back to NXT.
Yeah. Like, I want to go back.
Yep. So that's NXT War Games. Let's take a quick break now. Come right back. We're going to run through everything that happened in Survivor Series, the entire roster movement, the belts changing hands, craziness. Give us 1 second. Listen to this. We'll be right back. All right, everybody. Before we continue to talk more combat sports, we got to give another thanks to Casper Mattresses. Casper Mattresses combine two technologies, springing latex foam and supportive memory foam, to create an award-winning sleep surface. Have y'all ever slept on memory foam? It's like floating on air. It's that great. And this is how we get our sleep. So you guys make sure that you check it out. Casper Mattresses are made in the USA and have free shipping and returns to the US and Canada. Shout out to the Great North. You can buy your Casper mattress easy online, and it's completely risk-free.
Look, dude, you spend like a third of your life sleeping, and Casper understands the importance of trying out a mattress before you commit. Look, so if you aren't satisfied with the Casper mattress, you got a 100-day period. Yeah, that's right, 100 days. You know, like 100 days of sleeping? By about that time, I think I know if I like my mattress. So get a Casper mattress for $500 for a twin or $950 for a king size. And you can save an additional $50 towards your Casper mattress by going to Casper.com/thecorner and entering the promo code thecorner. That's Casper.com/thecorner. Promo code thecorner to save $50 towards your Casper purchase. Terms and conditions apply. Look, again, man, I like to sleep and these things are for real.
Make it happen. But now it's time to get back to talking combat sports. So stay with us. We are back, and finally, after 2 days worth of a show, after almost an hour and 40 minutes worth of a show, we have gotten to the Survivor Series. Damn, this has been a journey. Hope you guys enjoyed both shows. It seems like a lot of people like our hip-hop Survivor Series picks yesterday. Some people even giving us their own. That's dope. Make sure you guys keep those flooding in. But it's time to talk about the real thing. And let's see. Let's go through Raw first and foremost, right? So on Raw, Jason Jordan, you were hating on Jason Jordan. This guy should get an award for that act and performance.
No,
Jason Jordan shedding,
that shit was terrible.
Shedding thug tears on television. Like, oh, Dad, no, don't do it, Dad. First off, he beats Bray Wyatt, who is no longer Sister Abigail. That's a whole different discussion. So he beats Bray Wyatt. Wyatt attacks him. Kurt Angle is forced to pull him from the Survivor Series match, in which we talked last week. He was the weak link. It was like, shit, that he made the Raw roster look even uglier. And then he's like, Dad, don't pull me. No, Dad, don't do it. And then Triple H has to come out, tell Kurt he'll do it his damn self, puts himself in the match, and pedigrees Jason Jordan to a chant of thank you, thank you, Trips, or some shit like that. People loved it. And somehow Jason Jordan needs a heel turn because people hate him.
There is no somehow. There is absolutely a heel turn coming.
No, it might not. But
please,
He's taking his Roman Reigns spot because Roman Reigns isn't booed anymore because he's part of Shield.
No, dude. Look, Jason Jordan is effectively Rocky Maivia, who, by not happenstance, Rocky Maivia made his big debut at Survivor Series. So, Rocky Maivia with the Die Rocky Die, Jason Jordan is on the same path as Rocky Maivia. But nobody saw Rocky Maivia becoming The Rock.
I was about to say, that's one hell of a path, though. I mean, if you could flip it.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have the charisma. But, like, looking at Rocky Maivia back then, nobody was like, ooh, he's going to be the next big superstar. Even though they put him over on commentary by calling him the Blue Chipper, third generation superstar. Like, he was too happy with the tassels and the curly hair. Like, people just didn't like that shit. And then he became The Rock and showed this side of him that people didn't expect, and he became the biggest superstar. Jason Jordan is kind of on a similar path, and I don't think it's purposeful. I think Jason Jordan, you look at him, he has a great look. He's big. He's athletic. And he looks like the Blue Chipper. They try to put him over. They gave him this whole Kurt Angle thing. But the fans aren't buying into the shit. So I'm pretty sure that the heel turn is obvious for Jason Jordan to turn on his dad. There's no other reason to not do this. Like, what can you do with Jason Jordan as a babyface? Nothing. He's not getting heat like Roman Reigns is getting heat, but still pushing product. He's just a guy that's getting a lot of heat. So you got to flip it. Like, Kurt Angle came in as a babyface. Well, not really. He wasn't really a babyface. Nah. Like, when Taz beat him.
Yeah.
But he used that positivity to be such a big heel. Like, Jason Jordan, I don't know if he'll be a positive heel. I don't know what kind of heel he'll be. But he has to be a heel. Like, this doesn't work for him. And this Survivor Series is the perfect way to get him out of that babyface role that everybody hates and figure out a way to transition it to him being a heel. I just don't know how big of a heel he becomes.
I would like to tell you you're right. But if the plans are for Triple H to go against Kurt Angle at Mania, then what has to happen is Raw has to lose, Kurt has to get fired, go away from TV for a second, Jason Jordan defends his dad against Triple H. Triple H waxes Jordan at Royal Rumble, and Kurt comes back to defend his son's honor.
That's bullshit. That is absolutely not going to happen. Why? Where do you even get this idea about Triple H and Kurt Angle?
Because that's a WrestleMania type match. Like, what the hell do you want?
Nobody wants to see that.
Nobody wants to see half the shit at WrestleMania. But isn't this what always happens?
No, like this.
So,
like,
is Triple H going to be at WrestleMania, or is he not going
to
be at WrestleMania?
Of course, but why? But Kurt Angle, like, this journey to face Kurt Angle makes no sense. Like that pathway. Like, dude, nobody likes Jason Jordan. So Triple H beating up Jason Jordan is just going to get babyface cheers. So, dude, Jason Jordan has to go heel. He can't hang around getting booed as a babyface for another 4 months. Why?
I don't want to see it either, but it seems like a very Vince thing to do.
No, it doesn't. Roman Reigns is a babyface because he pushes merchandise and women love him. Nobody likes Jason Jordan as a babyface.
Not even women and kids.
No, nobody. Like, Rocky Maivia, his look, everything about Rocky Maivia, like, people hated. It was just too much. And Jason Jordan, like, he was like a shitty actor. Like, I hope he's got some charisma we haven't seen yet. But to bring him over, like, I think I said it the day he came to the roster was Kurt's son. I was like, he's turning on Kurt. Like, this isn't going to work unless he turns on Kurt. That's the only reason you make him your son is to turn on Kurt.
Yeah, that's rough, though. I mean, you might be right.
I hope you're right.
I'm not giving him that much credit.
I'm right.
I'm not. I'm not giving him that much credit. We'll see. But I don't believe that they do it. I think they're stubborn. And we'll see, though. I mean, Trips is in it now. That's what we know. What else happened on Raw? Nothing else really happened on Raw.
No, there's nothing really to talk about on Raw.
No. Raw invaded SmackDown, though. And SmackDown had a good amount of stuff happen. We had Natty lose the belt to Charlotte. And Charlotte see Ric Flair on the ramp. And, you know, that was almost a tearjerker. Coming on the heels of the documentary, I was like, oh, man, they're trying to get me again.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, people cutting onions in the stadium. So that was good. I'm glad Charlotte has the belt. Her versus Bliss makes a lot of sense. a way better matchup, and there was too many heel versus heel matchups, right? So something had to change.
They booked themselves into a corner. Like, they announced Survivor Series and announced these matches, and then they were like, oh, shit, we got a bunch of heels facing each other. What do we do? Like, all it was is heel versus heel matches.
Like,
just the entire thing, with the exception of Ambrose and Rollins carrying the tag team titles, which got switched to Cesaro and Sheamus anyway, it was all heels. Jinder, Brock, Miz, Corbin, what am I missing? Alexa Bliss and Natalya, and just not Cesaro and Sheamus. Like, the Usos, which is weird because I can't figure out what they're doing, and not in a bad way, but it feels like the Usos are getting over, but they're trying to keep them in this heel thing, but they're not. After the respect thing, it's like it's hard to boo the Usos. They can go. Just keep them as characters.
Yeah, but they might be faces again. Just with the guy. I mean, they're moving merch. The one day-ish or day one-ish t-shirt is fire. People are actually, they're liking the Usos. They have catchphrases.
Yeah, like they had everything going, the Uso Penitentiary. I mean, then you have Brock, who's like a tweener. He's not a babyface or a heel. And you had Jinder, who's a heel. So it was all heel versus heel matches. And somebody sat there and was like, you know you done fucked up, right? Fix this. So they fixed it. And then now we got a little bit more balance. Even though it's weird, like they put so much work into Survivor Series, but there's nothing at stake.
No, nothing at all. Not necessarily that I want to see like a trophy or anything either.
No, fuck that. I think I tweeted this out and some people saw it. There should be something at stake that affects the Royal Rumble. Like, the winners of Survivor Series either get a title, like the guy who gets a pinfall gets a title shot at the Royal Rumble for his show, or he gets to be number 30 entrant at the Royal Rumble. And if he's got other teammates with him, they're like 27, 28, 29.
No, see, that'd be good. But then the one who takes the pinfall, now you're just turning teammates against teammates. It'll be 3-on-1, and then like people will be battling. 3 SmackDown people will be battling to get the last pinfall. And I guess that's good if you want to create their rivalries going forward.
Exactly. More importantly, because you go back to your respective show. Like, as soon as the little logo appears in the bottom left-hand corner of Survivor Series, everything goes back to normal. People who were feuding, who were friends at Survivor Series, are now feuding again. So why not put something at stake that they can carry over into Monday Night Raw and SmackDown Live and then use the momentum for Survivor Series as it builds towards the Royal Rumble? Put something, because right now, all these matches, they're cool and everything, but not a single one of them, not a single match on this card, it affects Raw or SmackDown for the next 2 weeks. Like, it'll be mentioned on the Fallout Raw and the Fallout SmackDown, and then the following week they'll go back to whatever it was they were doing before.
Yeah, and then it's the reset button.
Right. So why not make the, if this is part of your big four, give it some gravity. Make it worth something. Somebody should get something for winning, because it just having bragging rights, who gives a fuck? You guys are both owned by Vince McMahon. He wins either way.
You're smarter than the men in the room.
Well,
but this is proven, so I don't know what you want. It would be smart to do so. They didn't think it through. They're like, hey, we have Survivor Series. Hey, we should just make it brand versus brand. And then,
and like, nobody said, dude, we just did bragging rights. Like, nobody says things like this in the writer's room. Like, yo, we just did bragging rights, so we're going to do the same shit for Survivor Series? Yeah. Don't you think that's stupid? No. Like, somebody has to say something.
When was bragging rights?
I don't know, but it just feels like it wasn't too long ago. like bragging rights was an actual pay-per-view between Raw versus SmackDown. So it's like, come on, guys, be a little smarter. Give me a reason to care. Except for, I know we get great matches, but give me a reason to care. Last time we had bragging rights, by the way, was 2010. It's been a long time. Just give me something to care about. Like, who wouldn't want to be the number 30 entrant in the Royal Rumble?
Now, that's one hell of a thing. Yeah, that's great to be in.
Who wouldn't want to get a title shot at the Royal Rumble if you win?
Yeah, like, that makes sense.
If you're like the two sole survivors, now it's a triple threat match. Like, now it's like if Bobby Roode and Nakamura were to be the last man standing on SmackDown, then they get to face AJ Styles in a triple threat match at Royal Rumble. Like, dude, make this shit worth it.
Something. Anything. I'm not mad at that. Let's see. Listen, there's time. Maybe they're hearing your tweets.
Ain't hear shit.
Maybe they put something at stake. You never know. It's easy to cut a promo. Let's go down the card. Oh, by the way, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, not even on the card.
Which means they're absolutely factoring into the finish of the SmackDown versus Raw match.
I think so, too. Yeah, I just don't know against who. Maybe they screw Shane.
Oh, they're screwing Shane.
To continue that.
They don't give a shit about SmackDown.
No. And then the whole, you know, they got kicked off tour, all that shit. I'm thinking that's just a work.
Could be.
Yeah, because, come on. Kevin Owens, he's getting the crazy push. It'll be bad.
Before we start even getting into this, this is the other thing I don't like about Survivor Series, is because you had, Kevin Owens was white hot. Like, him and Sami Zayn had a white hot angle. And it's kind of been buried because it's a meaningless exhibition match. Like, this is the all-star game of WWE. And you had to push Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn aside to jumble up all these matches. Like, they should have been factored into this a little bit more.
They weakened the already weak SmackDown roster.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Because you look at SmackDown, their roster is nowhere comparable to Raw at this point. But then you look, and then, man, you don't even got their two of their best talents on the card.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so that's bananas. Let's go down the card. Enzo versus Kalisto on the pre-show. You don't care. I still care about 205 Live. I want this to be the blow-off match. Enzo wins again. And we probably get like a Gulak versus Kalisto program, because Gulak probably cost Kalisto. And then it's room for the next babyface to challenge Enzo. Or you never know. Kalisto might win, and we might see the debut of Hideo Itami.
Well, I think Hideo's got to come and murder everybody on 205 Live, because there's nothing else to do. And we haven't seen him on NXT, so I think this is actually... But I think Itami comes in as a babyface.
Oh,
and,
really?
Yeah, I think...
That's the easiest way to get over, have him murder Enzo.
Yeah, I think he comes in as a babyface to murder Enzo. But I think Enzo should win here. I mean, Kalisto, it was long overdue for him to be on 205 Live, but why take the title off of Enzo? Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, nah, I mean, Enzo is carrying the brand. Not in the ring, obviously, but with his mic work. Next match, Miz versus Corbin. I really don't care about this match, but the Miz has to win because I don't give a damn about Corbin. And I don't know how it sets up anything in the future.
It doesn't. But all it does is, like, the Miz... actually, Corbin should win this match.
Corbin always needs it. The Miz never needs it, but so what?
He doesn't need it. Like, Miz is such a good talker. Like, he's come such a long way as a talent. It's weird that he was at WrestleMania as a champion once upon a time. But he's come a long way as this great heel. And he draws natural heat. That if he loses... Who gives a shit? Baron Corbin, on the other hand, needs to look strong as a heel. So I think Baron Corbin's going to win this match.
I'm going to go with Miz. Corbin's damn near buried. I mean, he has done nothing with that title.
Champ. He's not buried.
He's done nothing with the title. They gave him his run. It's kind of like when they gave Rusev his run. They give like all these like new up-and-coming.
Rusev had a hell of a
run. Rusev had an amazing run. They gave Rusev the run before Rusev probably actually deserved it. They gave him the streak, and then instead of cooling off the streak, they gave him the run. And he took the run and took it, and it took off. Him and Lana became good workers, solidified their characters. Corbin's done the opposite with his run. He's done shit with it.
I'm not a big Corbin fan, but like I think the term buried is used too loosely here because he's the champ, and he's clearly in a pretty decent match with The Miz, they've promoted the hell of this out of this on social media.
He's now just the guy holding a belt for whatever babyface they deem is ready to push next.
Yeah, well, I don't know about it. I think they like something in Baron Corbin.
Ugh.
I mean, he was in the doghouse for a hot second, but I don't even think he's a good worker. I just think that they still have hope for Baron Corbin. I don't think he carries the title that much longer, but he's not buried by any stretch of the imagination.
Is he the champion going into Mania?
No. Like, just about nobody, everybody with the exception, AJ should be the champion heading into Mania. But I don't even know if that's going to happen. Brock Lesnar's the only sure thing going into Mania. Lesnar's the only champion that's going to carry that title going into Mania.
That's usually
everybody
the case.
Else is up in the air.
Yeah, the tag team belts will change hands several times. But I just don't see Corbin. I don't know what he adds at this point. He's done nothing to elevate his character with the belt. And that's always problematic to me. Because then why do you need a belt? It didn't take him anywhere new.
I mean, Survivor Series has kind of ruined all that, so.
Yeah. We'll see what he does. Cesaro and Sheamus versus the Usos. I just want a good match. I don't even care who wins. Let's just say the Usos win.
I'm going to say Cesaro and Sheamus win. And I'm looking at this from a weird momentum perspective. I feel like Raw has to win more matches than SmackDown because SmackDown's going to win the big one.
Oh, that makes sense.
So I'm going to go Cesaro and Sheamus win this match.
But you just picked Baron Corbin.
I know. I think he'll be like the only guy from SmackDown that wins. Even Charlotte beating Alexa Bliss, I have a feeling that Alexa will steal this match somehow.
Oh, shit. All right. I'm going to pick Charlotte over Alexa Bliss. Which, have I picked all Raw people? No. The Usos will be the only SmackDown team to win all night.
All right. Continue.
Because I'm taking Charlotte over Alexa Bliss, so that gets that out of the way. Shield versus New Day.
Oh, the Shield are going over.
Shield are winning. That's it. Yeah. You can't go any other way with that. Women's Survivor Series match. I'll give it to Raw as well.
Oh, Raw's going to win, and it's going to be Asuka and Nia Jax will probably be those sole survivors. Asuka's not getting eliminated.
No.
So Raw will definitely win this match.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Asuka. Depending on where the match happens, Asuka will win and pin. If it's early enough, she will pin Carmella to win the match. And I wouldn't be surprised to see Carmella cash in if your prediction comes true and Charlotte loses to Alexa Bliss.
Possible. Who's the fifth member of Team SmackDown?
Natty, right?
Could be Paige.
Oh, shit. That could be.
Could be
Paige. I just assumed Natty filled the role. They never said it.
Yeah, see, that's the thing here. It's been TBA ever since Charlotte beat Natty. They haven't automatically put Natalya there, which means that Natalya might try to walk out, and Paige may be the one.
Damn. You might be right. Yeah, can't call it. That'd be dope. Not that I'm a huge Paige fan, but that's a cool little twist to throw into the match that not too many people care about. Men's Survivor Series match. Raw's roster, I mean, it just got more stacked.
Yeah, they're going to lose.
That's tough.
It's not tough.
Who's your sole survivor then?
That's a good question. Raw's okay. Raw's going to lose. Here's why Raw's going to lose.
I agree with you, actually. Raw's going to lose because I think Kurt Angle gets fired.
Well, there's too much friction between Kurt, Stephanie, and Triple H for Raw to win. So that means Kurt gets eliminated by somehow Jason Jordan getting involved. Shane McMahon gets eliminated by Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Randy Orton will not be the sole survivor. Braun Strowman will get eliminated because of Kane.
Yeah.
So that leaves you with Bobby Roode, Shinsuke Nakamura, and John Cena. John Cena, I can't see him being the sole survivor because it's almost too easy for that to happen.
I think Joe takes out Cena.
I've heard rumblings of them being booked together on tour, Joe and Cena, which would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, they have the history there, and they have the pictures and everything. That'd be perfect.
So I have a feeling like it would make a lot of sense for Bobby Roode to be one of the survivors because he's your new guy and you need to push him. And I'm curious if they allowed Nakamura to hang around because Nakamura just got out of that title picture. So if you want to make him strong again, him and Bobby Roode should be the survivors for SmackDown.
I agree. I think Nakamura wins the Rumble this year, by the way.
I don't. He just got out of a title picture with Jinder Mahal.
Well, the Raw guy can't win it. And so Raw won't win it. It has to be a SmackDown guy. I think AJ Styles is still the champ. I think they're going to go AJ Nakamura.
I mean, dude, I really hope you're right. Because I know they teased it at a house show with Nakamura and AJ.
Just the other day.
I just, it's just weird to have, like, I wish Nakamura would have never been in that program with Jinder. Then it'd be easy for me to pick Nakamura winning the Royal Rumble. But just because they put him in that program with Jinder and they made Nakamura look like shit, I'm not sold. If Nakamura is one of the survivors for Team SmackDown, then I'll agree with you that he can win the Royal Rumble. If he's not, he's absolutely not winning the Royal Rumble.
All right, we'll see. That's good logic. But yeah, I agree. SmackDown has to win by hook or by crook. And Shane is getting his ass out of there. Trips is eliminating Shane.
Well, I mean, one way, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are going to be the cause for Shane to get eliminated. Because they got to restart that program as soon as this ends.
Yeah, I forgot
that. Kevin and Sami almost cost the entire brand.
Yeah.
That's how they're going to look at that. So, and right. John Cena probably, I mean, the eliminations, I mean, who, if Joe gets rid of Cena.
Either Joe or Strowman get rid of Cena. That'd be a great way to make Strowman just look like $1 million.
To be honest, I just think they're going to get Strowman out of here quick with the Kane thing.
That's not bad.
They're too, they're too high powered.
Yeah.
Like, they're too, like, you look at that squad, like, we're going to get Kurt and Shane starting it off. And somewhere, Braun, he'll come in and clean house, and then Kane will come and fuck it all up.
Agreed. So,
And I don't, like, as far as eliminations go, I'm trying to figure out who eliminates Randy Orton. Like, he's a guy who's just kind of there.
Yeah, anyone could eliminate Randy Orton. Finn?
Maybe.
Give Finn something to do.
Could be Finn. Could very well be Finn. But, yeah, I just think with Rude being new and with Nakamura being Nakamura, I think those two should be your last two guys standing.
Yeah, I'll say Finn. And then last match, Styles versus Lesnar. Over under 10 minutes. We don't even got to pick shit. It's a Lesnar match. Over under 10 minutes.
God, I hope it's over 10 minutes. And here's why. We have there's a four-hour Survivor Series with a goddamn pre-show this weekend. To have a 10-minute match would be like, come on, guys. Like, shit. Give me 17 minutes.
It ain't going 17.
I agree with you, it's not going 17.
That happened. Jesus. That's Lesnar's whole year. That's his whole year work rate.
This won't be the main event either. This will be before the main match. This will be earlier in the show.
I want it to be the main event.
It won't
strangely
be.
Enough.
I mean, Raw versus SmackDown is what Survivor Series is all about. That'll be the main event.
Oh.
AJ and Brock will be somewhere in the middle of the card. But yeah, Brock's going over.
Yeah, Brock's winning. I'll give it 8 minutes and 33 seconds.
I have a problem if it's 8 minutes and 33 seconds. Like, again, I agree with you. It's going to be shorter than usual. My only qualm is you kind of waste AJ Styles if you only put him in the ring for 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make AJ, like, Jinder getting squashed by Brock, it's like, dude, nobody cares. Go back to what you were doing. AJ getting squashed by Brock makes AJ look bad.
But even, like, you look at Brock versus Samoa Joe. Joe didn't get squashed. It was a good match. It was 6 minutes.
Yeah, but Joe wasn't the champion either.
Yeah. But I thought it was booked well. It didn't make Joe look bad. It didn't make him look weak.
I agree. I agree. But I'm just saying, when you have the champion, you don't want to make your champion look like a bum. Especially when he's a babyface.
Yeah.
And he's probably one of the most naturally over guys in the company. Babyface or heel, AJ Styles is a made man. And the crazy thing about AJ Styles is he made himself. Because I don't even think, when he showed up at the Royal Rumble 2 years ago, I honestly don't think Vince was like, he's going to go far. I think they were all taken back by the response AJ Styles got at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And then his matches, like, he's a made man, and it was nothing booking-wise that made him who he is. He's a made man.
Before we get out of here, scale of 1 to 10, how surprised would you be if they let Styles go over on Lesnar because it's non-title?
8. I'd be extremely surprised. I think they're building this whole Brock Lesnar's invincible thing so Roman Reigns can beat him.
Okay.
So I'd be really surprised if AJ beat him. I hope he does.
So do AJ's, I.
He's so good, man. I mean, but this is WWE, and I know what they're doing. I mean, like, it's transparent. We see where they're heading with this.
Yeah. All right, so that is our Survivor Series special episode. 2 episodes back-to-back. Dre's still in a good mood. We'll see if he's like that this weekend. Thank you guys for listening. Follow us on social media at The Corner LSN on all platforms. Me at Kel Dansby. Him at Andreas Hale. That's our show for this week. We'll recap everything next week. I'm sure we'll get some crazy UFC news as well. Try to book UFC 219 here in Vegas. And some more stuff by the time next week rolls around. So, we'll see you guys then. For now, though, we're out.
Peace.